Okay, so good evening, and I want to thank all of you for coming again. This is the second shiur that we're giving about Hadlakas Neros, about lighting Shabbos candles. It's actually a very rich topic, and we could probably do a full year of shiurim, but I doubt that would carry people's interest, so we'll try to keep it to two. Although if you ask really, really nicely, maybe we could do a third one. So, pretty please. Okay. I want to talk tonight about the bracha that's recited when we light Shabbos candles, and also about the related issue as to whether the lighting of Shabbos candles actually means that Shabbos is beginning or not. The two issues we'll see are definitely related, and we'll try to discuss both of these issues. It says in Shulchan Aruch, and we all know this from common practice, Kishe Yadlik, when you light Shabbos candles, Yivarech, you make a bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Asher Kishamnu Tzolso V'tzivanu, Lahadlik Ner Shel Shabbos. Right? Very simple. Right? You make a bracha when you light Shabbos candles, correct? And this we know. Well, not so simple. First of all, there was a machlokas harishonim, whether you recite a bracha when you light Shabbos candles at all. Tosus in Shabbos on Daf Chav Hey points out that since the text in the Gemara is that Hadlakas Ner on Shabbos is a chova, it's an obligation, so generally speaking, this is a bit paradoxical, but things that are referred to in the Gemara as a chova, as an obligation, we do not recite a bracha on. We only recite a bracha on things that are a mitzvah. For example, Mayim Acharonim, right? Does anyone make a bracha on Mayim Acharonim? Most of us probably don't do Mayim Acharonim, right? But even if you do Mayim Acharonim, right, we don't make a bracha on it, and that's because it's called a chova. So one issue is whether we recite a bracha on Ner Shabbos at all. So yes, we do. That's our practice. We don't follow the other opinion in Tosfos. The next issue that comes up is just the text of the bracha. When I light Shabbos candles, so I recite the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, so far so good, Asher Kishamnu Tzolso V'tzivanu, right? So far no disagreements. Lahadlik. Lahadlik. Okay, so already we have a problem, no? Lahadlik is future tense or past tense? But so it's probably future tense, two lights, right? The Gemara tells us in Psachim on Daf Zayin that any time I do a mitzvah after the action was already done, so I recite a text of Al rather than Lit. No? Right? So Al Netilas Lulav might be because, technically speaking, according to many, the second you pick up the lulav, you make a bracha. There's a whole discussion in Tosfos how we get around the issue of over lasi yasan, that you're supposed to make a bracha before you do the mitzvah. But many of the Acharonim are bothered how come the text that we recite in the bracha is lehadlik. So we're not going to start up with that, right? But it is somewhat problematic. It should be al hadlakas, especially because our practice that we'll talk about extensively is that we light the candles first, and then we recite the bracha, correct? Next issue, lahadlik what? How many candles do we light on Shabbos? At least two, right?
Or three.
Or three, or four. That's what we spoke about 2 weeks ago. So yet the text is lahadlik ner shel Shabbos, no?
Who said the two is a
minhag? So me'ikar, I think it's one. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah comments. But look at this Mishnah Berurah. This is actually a collector's item. It's a collector's item because maybe you knew this. I didn't know this until a few weeks ago. Mishnah Berurah says, Lahadlik ner, Mishnah Berurah chof beis, Vafil kishamad l'kama neros, even when you light many candles, Tov yoser shiyomar ner, ki ikar hachiyov hu ner echad. It's better to say lahadlik ner shel Shabbos. It's better. That means the Mishnah Berurah is open. If you want to be into halachic innovation and do new, crazy, wild, different things, so you should recite a bracha lahadlik ne rosh shel Shabbos, no? That's very interesting, right? So everything is together, right? We spoke about that last week. That's why some people have the practice that there are two wicks that are braided together. But the point is that the Mishnah Berurah is open to the possibility that you can change the text of the bracha. He says, our practice generally is that we say ner, because that's the ikar mitzvah. But if you want to say neros, that's fine. It's better to say ner, but if you want to say neros, that's fine. Are there any other mitzvahs that we change the text of the bracha between whether I'm doing one thing or many things?
Still scale.
Tevilas Kalim, right? Tevilas Kalim is one exception. Actually, we don't. I think embroiderers, they still do. The Aruch HaShulchan says that our practice that we always just say Al Tevilas Kalim, right? We don't say Al Tevilas Kelly, even though I think embroiderers, it still says that one you do Kelly and for many you do Kalim. But Arsi mentions, but the Aruch HaShulchan writes that the minigas of we always do Kalim. That's what I was trained. There happens to be another time that if you do two mitzvahs together, you change the text of the bracha, and that is as follows. If I happen to pick up the Eruv Chatzeros on the same day that I'm making an Eruv Tavshilin for town, so then I would recite Al Mitzvahs Eruvin rather than Al Mitzvahs Eruv. Okay, that is, to the best of my knowledge, the only other bracha that changes. Okay, again, this is a collector's item. These are the types of things that I enjoy. Fine. Okay, so you recite the bracha Lahadlik Ner Shel Shabbos. There is a Lubavitcher practice that they don't recite the bracha Lahadlik Ner Shel Shabbos. They recite the bracha Lahadlik Ner Shel Shabbos Kodesh. Right? Lubavitchers add the word Kodesh, and the question is, why are they adding the word Kodesh? So apparently, the Friedeker Rebbe said that they're adding the word Kodesh not as part of the bracha, but they're saying that now Shabbos is holy. And he compares it to the fact that the Masada Kedushin, when you get married, after you put the ring on your wife's finger, the Masada Kedushin will say Mikudeshes. So you're doing the same thing on Shabbos. You're saying Kodesh. That's interesting. What? When do you say the Amen? Right, so that's the Nafkamina, if it's part of the bracha or not. Correct. There is a practice of some that they make the bracha of Shabbos candles specifically out loud for the husband to hear, because he's supposed to be accepting Shabbos at that point also. Wherever Elsa is around should hear. Others have the practice to specifically make the bracha silently, because they know that the husband or anyone else around probably doesn't want to accept Shabbos yet. So they specifically make the bracha silently. The Tzitz Eliezer says to make it out loud, and Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach puts to make it silently, whatever it's worth. Yeah.
Say the bracha silently,
but then after
you
say the bracha, you say out loud, "Well, the room,
good Shabbos."
Right.
Not for them, so
it's
not necessarily that
it's,
and they have
a
saying that.
So the saying of good Shabbos, maybe we'll talk about in the shiur in a week or two. That idea might be in case the woman who lit candles isn't going to daven Ma'ariv. So the question is, how does she fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush? Right, because on the level of Doraisa, you fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush when you daven Ma'ariv. If you don't daven Ma'ariv, how do you get Kiddush? So Rabbi Kiva Eger has this idea that saying good Shabbos counts.
But first, look at him when she makes Kiddush.
The question is, if the husband daven Ma'ariv already, so he was yotzei Kiddush on the level of the Doraisa, right? If she, so he only has a mitzvah d'rabbanan to make Kiddush. When she didn't daven Ma'ariv, let's say, so she has a mitzvah d'oraisa to say Kiddush, and he doesn't. Right, but maybe it would be better for her to make Kiddush. We'll talk about this next week. Maybe better for her to make Kiddush instead of him, and maybe in that situation you have to reverse the order of the brachos. That's already. And when you're tampering with the sitter, it gets dangerous. Right? In Atta Kiddush and Shmoneh Esrei, we assume that there's a fulfillment. Right, we assume that that's a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Kiddush on the level of d'oraisa. Yes. Okay, so we haven't even gotten to the good stuff yet. So far, we have a text that we recite when we light Shabbos candles, and the Shulchan Aruch continues, Echad Isha, Echad Isha, men and women both recite the bracha, and on Yom Tov also you recite a bracha. I think Teimanim have a strange practice that they don't recite a bracha when they light Yontov candles. And that's because there are two different groups of Teimanim. There's Baladis and Banat, you know what I'm talking about? Whatever. Rav Kafach's grandfather moved out of Sana and he moved to the outskirts because he didn't like the minhagim in Old Teiman and he wanted to only follow the Rambam. And the Rambam never mentions a bracha on Hadlakas Neres Yom Tov. So there are certain groups of Teimanim that don't make a bracha. And this is like a big issue if you're a Teimani. Whatever. Okay. So they discuss this all the time. But the Shulchan Aruch says that we do make a bracha when we light Yom Tov candles. Yom Kippur, there's a question with whether you make a bracha or not, etc. Hagah. Let's pick up from the Ramah here. Yesh Misha Omer, Shemavarchin Kodem HaHadlaka. Some say that you make the bracha before you light the candles. That's like every mitzvah. Every mitzvah in the world, I make a bracha before I do the mitzvah. V'yesh Misha Omer, Shemavarech Achar HaHadlaka. And then there are those who say that we recite the bracha after we light the candles. U'kadesh Yehe Over La'asi Yaso, Lo Yehena Mimena Ad La'achar HaBracha. Humesimin hayad lifnei haner achar hadlaka umevarchen. V'achar kach mesalken hayad v'zem mikri over la'asiyah v'chein haminhag. Okay? So, some say you make the bracha before you light candles. That would be like every other mitzvah. I make a bracha before I do the mitzvah. But then others say that no, you don't make the bracha before you light the candles. Why not? Well, this is based on what we'll be talking about later. There's a position of the Bahag, that the Bahag says, who was the Bahag? The Bahag was one of the Gaonim. Traditionally, he's attributed as Rabbi Yehudai Gaon. That's what Tosus always calls the Bahag as being. I think some of the later historians question whether the Bahag was written by Rabbi Yehudai Gaon, was written by some other unnamed Gaon. Whatever it is, in the new editions of the Bahag, in the Hakdama, there's a whole essay about who wrote the Bahag. So the Bahag has a position that you accept Shabbos when you light the candles. So if that's the case, if I accept Shabbos when I light the candles, so I have a problem, no? I have a problem, because if I'm going to make the bracha, let's say, so it becomes Shabbos. Once it's Shabbos, I can't light the candles. So what do I do?
So you think you accept Shabbos with the bracha, not with the light?
Well, we'll talk about that in a few minutes. Yeah, let's assume it's with the bracha for now. Right? At least this sifin shul chav assuming with the bracha, that I make the bracha, I'm accepting Shabbos according to the Bahag. If I'm accepting Shabbos, I can't light the candles. So what I do is I light the candles first, and then I make the bracha after. Aye, but the bracha is always supposed to be before I do a mitzvah, no? And over here the bracha is after I do the mitzvah. So you say, well, in order to solve that problem, this is you're not like bringing all the light in when you do this. Right? The idea is, actually, you're covering your eyes. You're not supposed to get hana'ah from the candles until you recite the bracha. Now, our practice is that we cover the eyes. Read Shulchan Aruch carefully. Does it say that you cover the eyes? It says that you cover the candles. Now, that can be painful. You have to you have to know how to do this.
Do not try this.
No, right, but the general practice, I think, is that people go like this, like they play peekaboo, right? That's the this is just where my mind is. But that's the general practice. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that even though Shulchan Aruch says that you cover the candles, he thinks it's better to cover your eyes, not to cover your candles. Okay. Be it as it may. What?
Once you put the candles, you're already getting on the afterward, doesn't seem to really help.
Right, so what is going on over here? Obviously, you already got hana'ah no matter what. Whether I cover my eyes or I cover the candles, I still saw something. So we're just trying to do a symbolic gesture to try to make it look like it's over la'asiyasan. This is probably the pshat. You know, most mitzvahs, we make the bracha before we do the mitzvah. The one exception the Gemara has is a ger. When the ger goes to the mikvah, a convert goes to the mikvah, so he or she can't make the bracha before they go in, because they're not Jewish yet. So what do? So they make the bracha after. Tosos has a discussion that maybe this is true every time you go to the mikvah, that you recite the bracha after you go in. This is Ashkenazi practice. Right, the Ashkenazi women recite the bracha after they're in the mikvah. Svaradim have a practice that the women recite the bracha before they go into the mikvah. Or for that matter, men. If men are going to the mikvah and will recite a bracha, like if you're going up to Har Habayis or something, so you would recite the bracha before you go in if you're a Svaradi. For an Ashkenazi, you recite it after. So that's the only exception in the Gemara, is a ger who's tovil. Tosus discusses, what about Al Netilas Yadayim? Our practice that first we wash our hands, and then you recite Al Netilas Yadayim. Right? How come we do that? Isn't that a violation of Over La'asiyasam? So some say, what? I didn't dry it. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that the drying is part of the mitzvah. That's how we get out of the problem. It's still Over La'asiyasam because drying your hands is part of the mitzvah of Netila. Hard to know exactly whether drying is part of the mitzvah. If that's the case, then there would be an obligation to dry your hands whenever you have a mitzvah to wash. Like Mayim Achronim. Do you have to dry your hands after Mayim Achronim? Anyone here who does Mayim Achronim know the answer?
The Gra, I think, says you have to.
The Gra, I don't remember. The Gra says you have to wash Mayim Achronim. They say you have to dry your hands?
I think he does.
Okay, could be.
I recall Mishnah Berurah for sure quoting somebody saying...
So there's there is a literature about this question. I didn't look it up, so I don't remember, but...
Couldn't you also say that they were still concerned over
Lesiasa? So... Yes, but no. In other words, there's a machlokas in Rishonim about when I say I have to make a bracha before I do the mitzvah. Let's say I didn't make the bracha until I did the mitzvah, and it's right after I did the mitzvah. Can I still make the bracha? So the Ur Zeruah says yes. The Rambam famously says no. The Rambam says, right, this is Simin Yud Tes in Yerideya. Now the Rambam says if you make the bracha in Shechita right after you did the Shechita, you forget. And you make the bracha right after, the Rambam says, that's a bracha l'batala. No? The Ar Zeruah says it's good. Right? And the Ramoi famously passes like that Ar Zeruah. He says in the case of a suffix, if you're not sure whether the animal is going to be kosher or not, so maybe you can make the bracha right after you do the Shechita, after you check. Now, I don't know how you do it so quickly, but right, that's the situation that Rambam. Right, the Rambam says you make it before you wash. Even Tosfos' conclusion is that you make the bracha before you wash. There are two opinions on that Tosfos. Okay, whatever it is. I know some very big Talmidei Chachamim will always make the bracha on the Tzilas Yadayim before they wash their hands for Hamotzi. Fine. So we have this discussion of Overlasi Yasin. So now comes the famous Magen Avraham. Remember, the reason why I don't make the bracha before I light the candles is because when they make the bracha, it becomes Shabbos. And once it's Shabbos, I can't light the candles. So says the Magen Avraham, here, Sifkat Yud Beis, the Im Tavarech Kibla L'Shabbos, V'Asura L'Hadlik. V'Im Kain, if that's the case, B'Yom Tov, Tavarech V'Achakach Tadlik. On Yom Tov, she should make a bracha and then light. Why? Because on Yom Tov, you're allowed to light candles. Kain Kosev B'Sof Sefer Hadrisha and Evan Ezer B'Shem Imo. Right, this is the famous, right, this is, I think, my sister loves this, I don't know, she's very into this. Right, this is the halacha that's quoted in the Magen Avraham in the name of women. This is like, right, the Drisha quotes Maras Bela, right, that's the famous woman, the Drisha's mother, who came up with this halacha. That was one of her halachos. The other halacha that Maras Bela taught is that you're supposed to light Yom Tov candles before Yom Tov begins. You're not really supposed to wait till on Yom Tov. She says, first light it beforehand. Even if you're going to light on Yom Tov, first make the bracha and then light. Now, of course, the Magen Avraham doesn't like the Grisha's mother very much. And I don't know how to make this politically correct. I can't. But we'll try. Actually, we can't try. He writes, Aval ein chachma le'isha. Boom. Right? End. Right? Summarily dismissed. So the Magen Avraham says, well, that halacha comes from a woman, it's gone.
Well, he gives a
svara
also.
Then he says a svara, a low plug. He says that what? Kemosha kasvu simen kufnun ches, ayin sham, like we say by Netilas Yadayim, and Tosus and Psachim. So basically, the Magen Avraham is saying that even on Yom Tov, you should light the candles first and then make the bracha after. Now, even though the Magen Avraham says Ein Chachma Le'isha and he rejects it, when the Mishnah Berurah quotes this in Sifkat and Chaf Zayin, he says that most Achronim disagree with the Magen Avraham, and that's the Dag Omer Vav and Rebbe Kiva Eger. For various reasons, they all disagree with the Magen Avraham. Basically, what the Magen Avraham is saying is that whenever you light candles, there's a low plug, clear across the board. You light candles, you have to first light the candle and then recite the bracha after. Because that's what I do on Shabbos, that's what I always do. So the Dag Omer Vav says, one second, low plug, you always light the candle first and then you make the bracha after. The Dag Omer Vav was the Noda Yehuda. He was the Rav in Prague. So he says, one second, you have to first light the candle and then make the bracha after whenever you light candles? Chanukah, I light candles, no? When do you make the bracha? Right? When do you make the bracha? So he says, obviously there's no low plug. Right, it's the same text of the bracha, lahad l'kner shel, right? Whatever, and then fill in the blank. So he says, obviously there's no low plug. So the Dag Omer Vav argues on this Magen Avraham, Rebbe Kiva Eger argues on the Magen Avraham. I think standard practice, from what I can remember, is that on Yom Tov, I think, right, most people light candles, first they make the bracha, and then they light after. Is that correct? Huh? Is that what they... I think this is what's taught, that on Yom Tov, we first light candles, then we recite the bracha after. Now, if that is correct, that we do not accept the Magen Avraham, so then there are two other issues that come up as well. Two other issues that come up. Let's say a man lights candles. Right? This happens fairly frequently. Right? A man lights candles. So the poskim all say, or I shouldn't say all, most poskim say that even though there's a practice that when the woman lights candles, she accepts Shabbos, there's no such practice that when a man lights candles, he accepts Shabbos. No such practice. So the Magen Avraham would tell you, even though you're not accepting Shabbos, but still you should light the candles first and then make the bracha after, because of the low plug, clear across the board. Right? However, I think most poskim will tell you that when a man lights Shabbos candles, first you make the bracha, and then you light the candles. Similarly, if you are making a tnai, if you're making a condition, you're saying, I'm lighting Shabbos candles now, but I'm not accepting Shabbos yet. Why do you do this? Well, the Achronim have whole literature, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes, about when you can make a tnai, if you can make a tnai. Shulchan Aruch has two different opinions if a tnai helps at all, according to the Bahag. But as a general rule, the post can follow the positions that you can only make a tnai if you're going to do a mitzvah. Right? If there's something that's really essential for Shabbos preparation that you didn't do beforehand, so you can light candles and not accept Shabbos yet until after you do that Shabbos preparation. Or if there's some other mitzvah that has to be done.
Like davening
mincha, we'll talk about in a few minutes. That's a big topic. So what's another mitzvah?
Driving to shul.
So Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, what about driving to the Kotel? So he thinks that, right, that's going to shul probably. He says, that's not a mitzvah. Daven at home. What's the mitzvah to go to the Kotel? The Tzitz Eliezer didn't like that. The Tzitz Eliezer says, no. It's like in Chelak Yirav, Simen Chafez, he says that, no, going to the Kotel, of course that's a mitzvah. Of course you can make a tnai when you accept Shabbos to go to the Kotel. It happens that this gets a little complicated, because the Alter Rebbe, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, in his Shulchan Aruch writes that if you're going to accept Shabbos with a tnai, right, if you can light candles and say, I'm not accepting Shabbos yet, because I'm making a condition, I'm going to do something else, well, someone has to accept Shabbos when you light candles. So, the Alter Rebbe says, if you're not accepting Shabbos, make sure your husband or someone else who's in your apartment is accepting Shabbos at that point, or else the candle lighting is levatola. So, this is why Reb Shlomo Zalman doesn't like going to the Kotel also. He says, one second, she's going to go to the Kotel and leave everyone else at home, that's unlikely. Others point out that the Mishnah Berurah, who generally quotes every statement of the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, doesn't quote this one. This is something that Rabbi Rosenzweig once pointed out to me when I was into learning Mishnah Berurah. He said the correct way to learn Mishnah Berurah is to look for what he doesn't quote. So the fact that this Mishnah Berurah doesn't quote this line from the Shulchan Aruch HaRav that you have to accept Shabbos, or someone in the house has to accept Shabbos when you light candles on the Tanai, shows that the Mishnah Berurah doesn't hold of it because we know he read every Shulchan Aruch HaRav. So that's an interesting point on its own.
What would the Shulchan Aruch HaRav say about men lighting candles?
About men lighting candles?
Yeah.
So the Shulchan Aruch HaRav follows the Magen Avraham straight. That was his approach. In the Siddur, he doesn't sound that way. Again, the Lubavitchers are very into how you reconcile the contradictions between the Siddur and the Shulchan Aruch. And if you want to read the introduction to the Ksos HaShulchan, he talks about this. But that's for advanced Lubavitch study. Not for now. Okay. Fine. So, we light candles, we accept Shabbos. Generally, the practice of women is that they light candles, they accept Shabbos. Shulchan Aruch tells us in Reish Samach Gimel Se'if Yud that according to the Bahag, when you light candles, so it becomes Shabbos already, and then you're Asur Malacha. Now, if you read the text here in Se'if Yud in Shulchan Aruch, it says, Lebahag, Kevan Shehidlik Ner Shal Shabbos, Chalol of Shabbos V'Nesar B'Malacha. No? In Se'if Yud, it sounds like, according to the Bahag, the acceptance of Shabbos is when you light the candle. As opposed to Se'if Hey earlier, that sounded like the Bracha is what is accepting the Shabbos. No?
No,
I'm comparing the Ramon Sepe to the Machar. Okay, but they're both based on this. They're both based on the same Bahag.
But Sephardi women never had the practice to light the candles before making the bracha.
That's probably correct.
So, assuming it's not because they reject the Bahag entirely, it makes sense that then the Machaber is consistent with himself that
okay, so
you make the bracha first because you're accepting with the lighting, not with the bracha.
But I make the so then I get into a problem in a different sort of way. How many candles am I supposed to light on Shabbos? Well, Meikar Hadin one. No? So, if I'm a Sephardi woman, right? So then I make the bracha, that's not accepting Shabbos. Then when does it become Shabbos? I lit one candle. Okay, now you're stuck. What about the second one?
You go somewhat a process of avoiding, just like we do with the minimum melachot on Shabbat, where you say it's the whole time.
The whole thing. It all goes together. I mean, so, Rabbi Akiva Eiger has an essay about this. He's unclear. He says that he thinks, according to the Bahag, lighting more than one candle would be forbidden. That's what he says. Because the accepting of Shabbos is when you light the candle. Light one candle, that's it.
Do we accept this
Bahag? So Shulchan Aruch sounds like we try to accept the Bahag as much as possible. We'll talk about that in a few months. But assuming like the Bahag, right? So is it the lighting of the candles or is it reciting the bracha? So this issue is probably a larger issue as well. You see, I light candles before Shabbos actually begins. At least, right? That's what you have to do. Once it's Shabbos, you can't light candles. So you light candles, and that probably is Tosefes Shabbos. It's probably the accepting of the extension of Shabbos. Now, when I accept the extension of Shabbos, does that have to be a verbal declaration or not? I remember when I was in Yeshiva Far Rockaway, Rabbi Pear at one point decided to post on the Yeshiva Shabbos signs, please remember to accept Shabbos verbally. Now, the Mishnah Berurah writes in one place, you have to accept Shabbos verbally, that's true. But he probably doesn't mean that. You see, there was a position out there that I can only accept Shabbos verbally because accepting of Shabbos early is based on a neder, it's based on taking a vow, and vows have to be verbal. Right? We don't generally follow that opinion. You see, because if you accept that opinion, so you have an easy out. Let's say you accepted Shabbos, and you realize that you didn't want it, so you know what you do? You knock on the rabbi's door, and you say, can I be Matar Neder? No? It's an easy out. No one has ever come to me yet on the Friday and asked me Matar Neder for accepting Shabbos.
They say the first Rav held that way.
I'm not familiar.
I heard the story of it. Hey. That he asked his wife to do something after she said, I already bench lift. And he said, I'm made for the Neder.
Me for the Neder? That's already...
Yeah.
Hard to imagine. Yeah.
In terms of the contradiction in the Shacharach, could it be that, like, you're starting the mitzvah in some kind of way, except Shabbos, but if it's the bracha, then you can't light, but if it's the lighting, you can still make a bracha, so it doesn't make a difference. So maybe that's the...
I'm not sure. You see...
I don't know if that's like that's a principle that...
So what really is accepting Shabbos? Is it the bracha or is it the lighting?
Doing...
The process. The whole...
Yeah, starting the process,
It could be, and Shulchan Aruch is kind of not being precise. Right? When it says lighting the candles, it means the bracha. When it says the bracha, it means the bracha with the lighting of the candles. It's all together. It could be, but like if you want to pinpoint the issue, so the assumption is that they're being a little more precise. There's an essay about this in the Toras Rafael. The Toras Rafael was Reb Rafael Shapiro, who was the Rosh Hashiva in Volozhin. So he wrote an essay about this topic, whether accepting Shabbos is through the bracha or through the lighting according to the Bahag. And he tries to prove, you see, this Bahag is half a line. You know where the Bahag is? Chanukah, right? We're getting there. The Bahag says that, you know what, when you light candles on Chanukah, light Chanukah menorah and then Shabbos candles. Because if you light Shabbos candles, you can't light the Chanukah menorah. That's the whole Bahag. Nothing else. Now, we don't know, did he mean the lighting of the candles? Did he mean making the bracha? It's unclear from the Bahag. The Toras Rafael has a whole essay where he tries to show that it's the bracha, not the lighting of the candles. The problem, though, is like this. If you continue in Shulchan Aruch, it says, V'al pizeh no hagos k'tzas noshim. Does anyone have this practice? Certain women have the practice. She'ach asher baruchu v'hidliku haneros, mashlichos la'aretz hapsilo she'biyodon she'hidliku ba, v'ein mechavos osa. That after they light the candle, they just throw the match down, and they don't blow it out. Right? Certain people have...
You're lighting candles for Yantz Sheni.
You light candles for Yantz Sheni, okay.
Well, you have something on the tray that you can put it on the...
You have like a metal something. So is that standard practice, or the standard practice that people blow out the match today?
A lot of people I know just put it down.
They just put the match down. Now that idea of putting the match down, where does that come from? You didn't make the bracha yet, remember. You're a Sfaradi. You haven't made the bracha yet. So that means that, okay, but it's already Shabbos.
Sfaradi, you haven't made the bracha.
What?
Sfaradi, you made the bracha before lighting, right?
Correct. An Ashkenazi, yes, thank you. Thank you very much, right. Yeah, I didn't make the bracha yet, because I'm going to make the bracha after, so I didn't accept Shabbos, so why don't I blow out the match? So apparently this practice of not blowing out the match is assuming that it's the lighting of the candle itself that's accepting Shabbos. It's not the bracha, right? This is a fairly common practice, I think, that you don't blow out the match. Now, it creates other problems, which Shlomo Zalman points out 1 second. So I don't blow out the match, but if I put it down directly, it's still going to go out automatically, and it's like, kibui b'yadayim also. So he discusses, well, how exactly do you put it down, and you have to drop it. Well, you drop it could be a little bit dangerous. You have to know.
Especially in my
house. Hey, perfect. Right. It's not a simple thing. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that he thinks that this practice of not putting out the match is based on assuming that lighting the candle itself is accepting of Shabbos. And he says, since we assume that it is the bracha that accepts Shabbos, that means that we assume that until you made the bracha, you could blow out the match. And he says, he tells women all the time, blow out the match, and that's it. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan writes. Okay. Fine. Then the Mechaber continues. Some people say you can make a condition, you can make a t'nai. Some people say you can't make a t'nai. That's what we spoke about earlier. There's a question whether t'nai helps at all. That's really the two opinions in Shulchan Aruch. Fine. Says the Mishnah Berurah, well, once you light candles, it becomes Shabbos. So therefore, he writes, v'tispalo mincha t'chila. Right? Mishnah Berurah says that you should daven mincha before you light candles. Because once you accept Shabbos, then you can't daven mincha, weekday mincha anymore. Well, this already is very questionable. It's questionable on two different levels. One level that it's questionable is as follows. When I accept Shabbos, does that mean it becomes Saturday? Does that mean it's still Friday, but now I can't do certain things? Right? It's probably still Friday, right? This is a discussion in Hilchos Nida. Can the woman do a Hefsek Tahara after you accepted Shabbos? So we assume that B'diyevet, right? You can do a Hefsek Tahara after you accepted Shabbos. You should try to do the Hefsek Tahara beforehand. If you didn't do it, fine. So the fact is that we assume that it doesn't become Saturday. Right? I accept Shabbos, it still is Friday. Well, if it's still Friday, I could still daven Friday davening, no? I might not be able to do malacha, but why can't I daven Friday davening? So that's one questionable aspect of the Mishnah Berurah.
What do you mean Friday davening? Mincha?
Mincha. I didn't daven mincha. I lit candles. Right? So it became Shabbos.
Rafael, that's weekday stuff.
But it's not a malacha. I'm not doing anything wrong.
But you're davening real weekday davening.
So it's still Friday. It's Friday, but I can't do malacha. That's right. I could daven Motzei Shabbos davening on Shabbos. That's right. Right. I think we spoke about that. Some people recommend that, like for an onein. No, if you lost a relative on Shabbos, some people recommend to daven Motzei Shabbos davening on Shabbos. Whatever. Taz recommends that. Okay. So the Mishnah Berurah says that you should daven mincha before you light candles, and once you light candles, you can't daven mincha anymore. Because the Mishnah Berurah is assuming it really becomes Shabbos. Therefore, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has a discussion. He says, well, right, you're also supposed to shower and get ready for Shabbos beforehand. Let's say you didn't shower and you didn't daven mincha. Which one do you do before you light candles, and which one do you kind of do after? So Reb Shlomo Zalman thinks, he says, well, if you don't have the type of hot water heater that the water is going to become heated on Shabbos when you turn it on, so he says, so daven mincha beforehand, then light candles, and then shower after you light candles. I think that doesn't apply in any of our buildings, that the water actually gets heated when you turn it on. But if you turn off the boiler, that actually could work.
It'll make you go yivar too, no?
No, so then he has an essay. He thinks that since the Isser V'chitz on Shabbos is only an Isser D'Rabbanan, so Yisurim D'Rabbanan don't apply. If I accept Shabbos early, it's like Bein Hashmashos, and Yisurim D'Rabbanan don't apply. Then Reb Shlomo Zalman writes, and he kind of...
He passed Bein Hashmashos as Mutter?
Yes. Shvusa Tzarech Mitzvah is Mutter.
It's a mitzvah.
Yeah, it's a mitzvah. To be showered for Shabbos is a mitzvah, yeah. Yes, we pass like Rebbe. So then it goes like this. So then Reb Shlomo Zalman tucked away in the footnote. He doesn't want to say that I'm arguing on the Mishnah Berurah. So he says, well, based on what I wrote, that you're allowed to shower after, because showering is only an Issur D'Rabbanan, and you can do an Issur D'Rabbanan after you light candles before real Shabbos begins. So he says, well, you should also be able to daven mincha after. So Reb Shlomo Zalman is really saying, and I don't think people pick up on this, is that he's disagreeing with the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says you have to daven mincha before you light Shabbos candles. Shlomo Zalman says, no, you don't. No, you don't. He says, well, maybe you should make a condition. He says, no, the whole issue of a tnai, of a condition, is only if you're going to do a malacha. Here I'm not doing a malacha. I'm just going to daven mincha. So if I lit candles and I didn't daven mincha, so daven mincha after. That's what Shlomo Zalman writes. Okay. Shlomo Zalman also has a discussion about the chiyuv of kiddush, right? Usually you're not supposed to drink water before kiddush, no? Right, before Havdalah, you're allowed to drink water. Before Kiddush, you can't drink water. Shlomo Zalman says, and this time also, the real chiyuv of Kiddush didn't begin yet. I tell this to my wife every week. Take the drink after you light candles. Not a problem, no? It's not a problem. Fine. This idea that Reb Shlomo Zalman has, he says, it's based on the Mishnah Berurah. He doesn't tell you, he's arguing on the Mishnah Berurah, that you're allowed to daven mincha after you light candles. But it's really based on the Mishnah Berurah, that the Mishnah Berurah here, in Reish Samachav Sif Dalet, right, it says in Shulchan Aruch that once you accept Shabbos, you can't do malachas, etc. And then the Mishnah Berurah writes at the end of Sif Katan Chaf Hei, I am Beir Halacha in the name of many Achronim that we wrote, the Dafkai De Baruchu, which is Kabbalah Shabbos of Etzibor, you can't do Malacha. Avam Yachid Kiba Olav Shabbos Mi Ba'od Yom, Lo Chomer Mi Bein Hashmashos, and therefore you could do Yisurim Derabbanan Letzorach HaMitzvah. Fine. So that's one issue. The last issue I want to discuss is as follows. Many women, I think, have a practice that they daven Shachris and Mincha every day, but not Ma'ariv. Right? This is a practice that the Mishnah Berurah himself mentions, no? Mm-hmm. That women accepted Shachris and Mincha and not Ma'ariv. Fine. So now comes the question. Let's say you follow the Mishnah Berurah. So you light candles, you're not going to daven Mincha again. So what do you do? Usually if you miss Mincha, you daven Tashlumen. Right? If I miss Mincha, so I daven Tashlumen. First I daven Ma'ariv, then I daven the second Shemoneh Esrei to make up for the Mincha that I missed. But if you're a person who doesn't usually daven Ma'ariv, so then, can you daven Tashlumen? It's a little bit funny. Tashlumen, the halacha is, can only be the next tefillah, the next prayer. So I miss Mincha. When's my next tefillah? Shachris. So I'm going to daven Shachris and then make up for yesterday's Mincha? It's a little bit funny, right? Maybe what I should do in this situation is, even if you're the type of person who doesn't usually daven Mincha, Ma'ariv, thank you. Alright, if you're the type of person who doesn't usually daven Ma'ariv, so maybe in this situation that you missed Mincha, you're obligated to daven Ma'ariv in order to make up for that Mincha that you missed.
Just one Ma'ariv or two Ma'arivs?
Two Ma'arivs. Probably two Ma'arivs, because you can't just daven. I have an obligation to daven Mincha. The only way I could daven Mincha is by daven Ma'ariv first and then daven Mincha after. This issue is right for a lot of lumdis in terms of how Tefillah's Tashlumen works. Is Tefillah's Tashlumen a carbon copy of the original Tefillah or not? This is the first essay I wrote in the YU Torah Journal years ago. Whatever it is, the conclusion of Reb Shlomo Zalman is that you should, even if you don't ordinarily daven Ma'ariv, in this situation you should daven Ma'ariv in order to make up for that Mincha that you missed. That's his conclusion. Again, there's room to question this and disagree, but etc. The last point that I give you a source about is the Tshuva of Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. He entertains the following idea. Remember, we have two possibilities according to the Bahag. Is the Kabbal Shabbos with the statement, with the bracha, right? In which case it's probably along those lines of the Levush, that Kabbal Shabbos has to be verbal. Or do I assume that the Kabbal Shabbos is doing the action, lighting candles? That idea that the Kabbal Shabbos is doing is the lighting of the candles itself is probably based on the Gemara. Now the Gemara discusses all of the activities that you should do Erev Shabbos, and it says Erev Shabbos you should rinse and you should prepare for Shabbos. You should do everything, because all the activities, and the last activity that's mentioned is Hadlakas Haner. So it could be that maybe the idea of Tosefa Shabbos is just the last thing that I do. If lighting the candle is the last thing that I do, I did that last action, now it's Shabbos, automatically I don't say anything. That's the other possibility. assuming that Kabbalah Shabbos requires that I say something, it's verbal. And therefore we said maybe it's like a neder, and I could go to the rabbi and he could get me out of my Kabbalah Shabbos. If that's the case, then Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank has a wild idea that others also suggest. The Emek Bracha also has this idea. Maybe what I could do is I could have partial Shabbos, no? I always wanted to do this as a kid. Like, have Shabbos for certain things, but not for other things, right? You have Shabbos, but you're allowed to text, or whatever. You have Shabbos, but you're allowed to, right? High school kids, right? So the idea is, maybe on Shabbos you can't do that. Shabbos is Shabbos. But the Tzvi Pesach Frank says, maybe what I should do is, when I light candles, I should accept Shabbos for everything, with the exception of turning off my stove. I accept Shabbos for everything, with the exception of... Now, he seriously entertains that you can have this idea of partial Shabbos. It's Shabbos, right? We spoke about this actually before Yom Kippur, no? The possibility that this year when Yom Kippur was Shabbos, that maybe what you could do is that you could accept part, but not the whole thing. I could accept the Shabbos, not the Yom Kippur, and then make Kiddush, right? So, along those lines, I could accept Shabbos for certain malachos, not for other malachos. And then I could do that malacha, which I didn't accept. So, Tzvi Pesach Frank kind of dances around this issue in the tshuva. He says, that can't be. You can't have partial Shabbos. It doesn't work. Partial Pesach.
If you're American, Pesach, like,
but the Rav felt that when I'm in Israel for the second day of Yom Tov, so I don't do malacha.
So
we call it in common terminology 1.5, 1.75. It doesn't mean that. It just means that you get more chumers. It doesn't. Right? This is a way to get more kulas. Right? That would be. So it's an interesting idea, but it's also based on this notion that what really accepts Shabbos is the verbal declaration, and it's a neder. And if you really take the idea of neder seriously, so you could end up in some very strange places, you could end up with this idea of partial Shabbos. No one accepts this halacha. I think everyone assumes that you light candles. Either you're accepting Shabbos completely, or if you make a t'nai, you're not accepting Shabbos at all. Right? If you make it tonight, you're not accepting Shabbos at all, and therefore, after you did that thing that you planned on doing, then at that point, you should accept Shabbos. Whether you have to do so verbally or not, I think the consensus of most Rishonim is that you don't have to accept Shabbos verbally. That could be a shir in its own right, but it's also related to this topic of the Bahag and the Bracha on Neros Shabbos. I thank you very much for coming. Have a good night. Oh, so next week I'd like to discuss Kiddush, unless there's a large group of people who want to discuss Neiros Shabbos for third week. We didn't discuss where to light when you eat out. We didn't have a chance to get there. But we could talk about Kiddush next week. I was inclined to move on to Kiddush, unless there's opposition. Okay? And then afterwards, the Family Life Committee requested a shiur or two about care of children on Shabbos, so we'll do that maybe during this time slot, like the week of November 10th and November 17th, and then this Chanukah already.